The sixth item that can be found as a characteristic of leadership rejection would be just this: growing tardiness and absenteeism. If absenteeism and tardiness appear to be on the increase, the leader can consider this as a subtle indication that there is dissatisfaction in the ranks. The difference between people who love their work and people who are discontented is clearly evident in punctuality and attendance. The seventh characteristic of leadership rejection would be this: deterioration in the appearance of the work area. People who are customarily neat and tidy are sending a message of dissatisfaction if they become sloppy and unkempt in their area. Number eight, a breakdown in discipline. If overall discipline appears to be breaking down over an extended period of time, the leader will want to begin checking out possible causes. A ninth sign or characteristic of leadership rejection would be this: long faces. This, in part, is one of the leadership characteristics that you will develop. The ability to read faces, to read voices, to read posture, and other indicators of unhappiness. A long face on everyone in the office every day has a message. A tenth item, which can be seen as an area of leadership rejection: low morale becomes a rally point. When your people make no attempt to conceal their negative feelings, you can bet that there is something wrong. And then, of course, there are other things which many times are seen as a indication of leadership rejection, such things as strikes, slowdowns, voluntary termination, request for transfer. All of these would indicate dissatisfaction with a leader. A leader who has acceptance by the group is usually able to add to the quality of that group in very specific ways. The leader should enhance group cohesiveness, cooperation, problem solving, decision making, resolution of conflict, the ability to deal with change, the ability to handle crisis, and even the addition of resources needed for the continuation of work to progress. The leader will improve the quality of work life, build self-confidence in the followers, increase the followers' skill, and contribute to the psychological growth of his followers. To the above positive statements of leadership admired by followers, Danny Cox has added the following. Number one, keep people's jobs interesting. Number two, keep an open mind regarding new ideas. Number three, foster individual feelings of accomplishment. Number four, affirm accomplishment with recognition. Number five, develop a clear idea of what is fair and make that central to employee treatment. Number six, match responsibility to competence. Number seven, compensate effort fairly and appropriately. Number eight, invest in the personal growth of your workforce and let them invest in their own growth. Number nine, lay the groundwork for a sense of community at work. The emphasis here is a sense of belonging. And number 10, maintain a focus on opportunity. The more of these elements you have, and the larger the dosage, the higher will be the degree of follower satisfaction, and the greater will be your productivity. In addition to the above, I think it would be safe to say that leadership also includes initiative, unity, shared decision-making, the ability to receive commands, vision, as well as aims, objectives, and goals. We discover in leadership some important principles about organization and administration. For example, what would be some of the advantages of organizing? Well, I think probably we could mention four by way of introduction. One advantage of organizing would certainly be this. Organizing results in a saving of time and energy. And then a second advantage. More can be accomplished through the distribution of responsibility. In other words, it's not a one-man show any longer. Third advantage. Better results come from better planning. It's often been said that an event happens in proportion to how that event has been planned. Then number four, better direction can be given and more can be accomplished when a group is well organized. At least four advantages of organizing. Perhaps a second item could be drawn from this part. What are some principles of organization? Number one, organization should be a means to an end. In other words, it's a transporting device. It's to take us where we want to go. It's not the end in itself. Number two, it should grow out of the needs of the group. How one group is organized does not necessarily dictate how another group is organized. Every group is organized on the basis of their particular needs. Number three, it should contain maximum participation. You want as many people involved in your organizational structure as possible. Number four, it should be flexible in order to adjust to changes brought about by growth. Nothing is ever static. Nothing remains the same. The organization, the group is going to grow. Organization should have space for that kind of growth. Number five, it should be democratic. Again, decision-making on the part of those who are going to do the work. Number six, there should be records and reports adequate to gauge progress or failure and the reasons for such progress or failure. Six basic principles to remember in organization. There's something else I believe we can draw out of this discussion. The characteristics of good organization. Just a couple of things to mention about good organization. Number one, have a person or board to be responsible for knowing the complete program of the organization, its aims, duties of workers, future plans, and relationships that exist between the various parts of the organization. You see, in that way, you're assuring that the work is being done because various individuals know and various individuals are responsible. The second characteristic of good organization. Have the responsibilities evenly distributed so that all members, as far as possible, will have some responsibility and some service to give to the organization. I think we can also discover here some principles to follow in administration. Number one, define and list definite duties and responsibilities. Number two, allow for freedom of the individual in working out detailed plans. Give guidance and assistance where needed and when it is requested. Then number three, request a report of the work done. And number four, work through the organizational channels rather than around the organizational channels. Someone has said, if you have a time and a place for everything and do everything in its time and place, you will not only accomplish more, but will have far more leisure than those who are always hurrying as if vainly attempting to overtake time that has already been lost. I think there's something else we could say. Prepare a successor. The point is that mentoring is a non-negotiable function of successful leadership. The effective leader will plan his departure the day he begins. The effective leader must realize that success without a successor is failure. The question is, who are the men and women that you are grooming to one day take your place? Organizations live and die on the basis of their flow of new leadership talent. The only way to guarantee that your organization does not die is to constantly renew yourself with fresh blood in the form of new leaders. One of the priorities of a leader should be the mentoring of the emerging leadership pool within the organization. The leader should focus on the new rising stars who seem to show the greatest promise. Watch these men and women. Listen to what others say about them. An informal but very effective way to get references, actually. Note how well they get along with people and how good they are at getting excellent work accomplished. If you want to know what you value most and whom you trust the most, try this exercise. Imagine that you are shipwrecked on an island with only a radio and 2 minutes of battery time left. In those 2 minutes, what would you share with the home office regarding what is most important to know in case you never make it back? And whom are you appointing to carry on for you should you not return? You may want to try this same little exercise with other members of your leadership team. This should renew your desire to mentor a select few of the up-and-coming leaders in your organization. Success without successors is like a childless couple. The future of the family is cut off. In organizational life, a leader who fails to identify and develop his successor stalls the future effectiveness of the organization and hinders the fulfillment of its purposes. Leadership is a high calling and a great privilege. From our very first day on the job, we need to keep in mind that day down the road, we will have to pass the torch to our successor. And how we pass that torch might be just one of the ultimate measures of our leadership success. This brings us to the end of number 7
for this course entitled Management and Leadership Theory.